Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As the Apostle Paul warned us in today's epistle, there are so many people around us who would see us fall and perish eternally, but not really people, not flesh and blood. Instead, as the apostle says, it's really the devil himself. It's the principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. They are our chief enemies, the devil and his powerful spirit army, who work night and day to drag us into hell. But God has provided us with armor so that every day we can stand in the face of those enemies who have targeted us for destruction. And actually, even though we are weak, even though we are sinful, even though we are human beings, we can stand against them and prevail in every battle. We can do that by means of what Paul calls the whole armor of God, that armor fitted with every piece necessary in order to stand against the devil and his attacks. Above all, Paul says, take up as a piece of armor the shield of faith. That is the piece of armor that keeps the soldier from being attacked from a distance by the archer, or from the archer and his arrows, which sometimes he might even light on fire, from the fiery darts of the devil that are shot from a distance while we're trying to fend off other enemies here. There's the archer far away taking aim. But that's what the shield is used for. To fight off against the archer and his fiery darts. One archer can easily take down many soldiers from a safe distance, unless the soldier is equipped with the shield. And not just any shield, but the one that can actually stop the fiery darts, the one that can keep them from getting through and killing. The shield of faith is that piece of the whole armor of God that defends a Christian from the devil's fiery darts. But again, not just any faith. Faith in the wrong thing is like having a shield made of paper. A lot of good that will do you. No, the faith that the Apostle Paul calls a shield and the vital piece of the whole armor of God that he provides is the faith that protects you from the devil's flaming arrows. It's a very specific thing that requires a very specific formation. We see Jesus forming that kind of faith in today's gospel, and through the gospel, he'll form it in you too by his Spirit. There was a royal official, a nobleman, who approached Jesus in the gospel. He had a son who was very sick. Sick with a high fever caused by some terrible illness that was about to take his life. What a terrifying thing it is to have a sick child, even a sick child with a sickness that you know is going to go away in 3 or 4 days. But this one wasn't going away. There were no signs of recovery. This was about to do him in. It made his father desperate. It made him recognize how helpless he was, how hopeless, how needy. And that turned out to be a great blessing, a good thing that God sent, because it caused him to look up, to look away from himself and anything he might do. He had to look up somewhere else, to someone who could heal what no man could heal. And then he heard word of just such a man who had come near, come back into the territory of Galilee. He had come once not too long ago and reportedly changed water into wine at a wedding. He had then gone back down into Judea and performed many miracles, healing the sick left and right down in Judea. Now he was back in Galilee, and that word reached the man. The word that Jesus could heal the sick. The word that Jesus had come near. And he believed it. He already had a kind of faith. That faith prompted him to go and find Jesus and ask him to come down and heal his son. But Jesus chose not to go. Not because he didn't want to help the nobleman, but because the man and his whole house needed a whole lot more than a healing miracle. They needed faith, the kind of faith that would last, that would shield them from enemies that were so much deadlier than sickness. A faith that would last after Jesus was no longer nearby in visible form, no longer nearby to come down to your house and do some healing miracle. So Jesus said to the man, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." It's a rebuke and a warning toward all those who were listening to what Jesus was saying, but not really listening, because all they really wanted to see was, what sign will he do next? What kind of a healing miracle will he do? How will he help me with some temporary need that I have in my life? Oh, he just did one. Well, what will he do next? What's the next sign that I can expect? What else will he do? Maybe I'll believe in him someday as something more. Maybe I'll listen to what he's saying about himself being the Savior, the Christ. Maybe I'll pay attention someday to what the Old Testament prophesied about him, but not today. Today I just want to see another miracle. Then we'll see. That was the state of mind of the people in Judea and Galilee at that time. That is the state of mind of most people today too. Prove it. Show me. Don't tell me those Bible stories. Don't read to me from scriptures. Don't preach sermons that just retell the story. Show me what Jesus will do for me today. Then maybe he's worth my time to listen to. Well, that's a very dangerous position to be in, a dangerous attitude to hold. And so Jesus went further. Made them go further. Because faith that relies on sight is not really faith. Certainly not the kind of faith that can shield a person from the devil and save a person from death. Besides, what was it that the man, the nobleman, and his family needed to believe? Not just that Jesus could perform a healing miracle under certain conditions. They needed to believe in Jesus as the creator of the universe, as the God of free grace and favor, as the Holy Son of God who had taken on human flesh so that he might deliver sinners from sin, death, and the devil. None of that was visible. None of that could be seen even after the signs and wonders that Jesus did. And it can't be seen now either. But it all had to be believed if their faith was to do them any lasting good. Well, the nobleman in the gospel, the desperate father, is not exactly encouraged yet by Jesus' words. It seems like he wasn't even listening. He wants to see the sign. He wants to see the wonder. And not just because he's miracle hungry, because his son is sick. And that's the sign he needs for his son to be healed. "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus won't go with him. That would be too much sight, too much seeing, like giving an alcoholic a drink in order to cure him of his addiction. No, Jesus gives the Father something far better than sight. He gives him a word, a promise. Go your way, your son lives. Now before, all the man had was a general confidence, a general faith in Jesus as a good man who could do miraculous things. That's a good start, but it doesn't give you anything specific to believe. But when God gives you a word, when God gives you a promise, now faith has something specific to hold on to, something specific in which to believe. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him. He still saw nothing. He experienced nothing. But see how the Holy Spirit worked simply and powerfully through the word that Jesus spoke to cause the man to believe what Jesus said without having to see anything at all. Now, suddenly, he doesn't need Jesus to come down to his house any longer. Now suddenly he isn't begging, he isn't imploring, he isn't even frantic anymore. Suddenly he's content to go his way, believing that his son would be healed. When he found out on his way home that his son had in fact been healed at the very moment when Jesus said the words, "Your son lives," it says that he himself believed. And his whole household. Well, now what did they believe? That the son had been healed? No, they couldn't believe that anymore because they could see it. If you can see it, you don't believe it. Now what did they believe? They now believed in Jesus as the Savior sent from God. They now believed the word of Jesus, who not only said, "Your son lives," but also, "He who believes in the Son has everlasting life." It's good to have faith in Jesus as the one who can heal the sick, as the one who can keep you safe from thieves and robbers, as the one who can keep you and your loved ones safe from reckless drivers on the road and from natural disasters like hurricanes. But that kind of faith isn't enough yet, because while God has told you in his word that he is always merciful, kind, and good, and cares for you as a loving father, he has not told you that he will take away all sickness from your life, or that he will take away all danger and death from you while you live on this earth. Faith without that kind of promise from God won't shield you when the devil hurls accusations against you, when God's commandments condemn you of sin. A wordless faith won't help you when God, in his wisdom, allows sickness to remain or permits some tragedy to strike. But when God makes a promise, now faith has something to rely on. Because faith that relies on the word of God, the word of Christ, is faith that cannot be shaken. So listen carefully to the word of God when it is preached. Scour the scriptures for those precious promises of God that cannot fail whenever you're doing battle with the devil, the world, and your own sinful flesh. God attaches the promise of the forgiveness of sins to a pastor's absolution, to holy baptism, and to the bread and wine that the same word calls the body and blood of Christ. He promises to uphold his holy church and to make it victorious over the very gates of hell. He He promises grace and every blessing to his saints, strength to bear up under the cross and sin, providence for your body and your soul, fatherly guidance for your life, and even resurrection from the dead. Armed with faith in these promises, faith that is formed by the Holy Spirit himself through the words that you're hearing today, you have the kind of faith that will serve as a mighty shield against all the devil's flaming arrows. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.